some of your problems that you're in today didn't happen overnight. Some of the situation you got yourself in, it took years. And a lot of times we come to God and we expect Him to do a supernatural miracle on the spot. And He does. But He's more interested than you knowing how to fight instead of just fighting for you all your battles. Amen? One time, my kids were going through something in my house. And I don't know if you've ever had this. They would just wake up in the middle of the night with the nightmares. And I would go to the room and I would almost feel the presence of evil. I don't know if anybody ever here felt that anywhere. And I would feel that presence and I would pray and I would be kind of shook up a little bit. And I would say, Lord, you know, get this devil out of here, you know. And God said to me, no, I want you to do it. And I'm like, me? But He's going to attack me if I go against Him. And God says He's going to attack you anyway. So might as well kick His butt first. You know, a lot of us, we live on the defensive. We're hoping, if I don't touch the devil, he won't touch me. No, no, no. If you don't touch him, he's still going to destroy you. His purpose is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. God's purpose is to give you life, to create life for you, to give you a better life, to better future. And so David says, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who teaches my hands for battle. He doesn't just always fight my battles for me. Yes, there's some battles God will fight for you, like David and Goliath. You know, that was a miraculous battle. That was. But there are so many more battles that David had to learn how to fight. Actually, from about 17 to about 33, David was learning how to fight. And so, yes, God will do miracles in your life, but He will also teach you how to be a good warrior, how to be a good fighter. So whenever enemy comes against you, you can defeat him in His name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm preaching already and I'm not supposed to. I'm going to lower my voice today. Lower my voice. My topic today, and it's a special service today, because we are honoring and celebrating a birthday of a special man. Does anybody know whose birthday it is today? Martin Luther King Jr. Amen. And so we're celebrating his birthday today. Some of you are like, why are we celebrating his birthday? And I'm going to tell you why. Because this man has done some great things for our country. He has done good things about equality. He has done great things on justice and human dignity. He fought for human rights. Amen. And so that's why we're celebrating today his name. And we're not so much celebrating his theology because some of us don't agree with his theology. We're not necessarily celebrating, you know, his weaknesses. But there are so many good things that he has done for our nation. Now, I'm here, and I want to make a little disclaimer that I'm not qualified to preach this message. I'm totally not qualified to preach this message. The closest I got to any type of slavery or imprisonment, and I want to tell you this, is that my grandpa was a prisoner of World War I. Actually, he was a 15-year-old boy. His name was Nikolai. He was a 15-year-old boy, and as Germany came into Ukraine and took over and occupied it, they would do a clean sweep. They would take anybody between ages of 12 to 17, and they would load him in trains and take him to Germany. What happened was, in Germany, they needed labor workers because all of their men, strong men, was needed to be in the front, you know, fighting the wars, because Germany overextended itself. They were attacking pretty much everybody. I don't know what they were thinking. And Hitler was attacking everybody and killing everybody. And so all of their men of the fighting age were, you know, in the different countries fighting war. And so my grandpa was swept up. And what happened was, he told me this story. He's still alive today. I actually called him today. He didn't speak to me. Grandma spoke to me because he's kind of losing it a little bit. He's getting old. But he still worships Jesus. That's the thing. He's losing it, but you don't hear a cuss word coming out of him or anything. He's losing it, but he's worshiping Jesus. He doesn't remember who you are, but man, he quotes scripture and talks about Jesus, and that's all is in his mind. I wish I would be that way. When I'm old, If God gives me long years like him, I want to quote scripture. Amen. I don't want to be cursing. I want to quote scripture. Amen. And so when he was taken to Germany on a train, they were treating him like cattle pretty much. And they took him to a market, and I've kind of read history of United States, what they would do to slaves. They would take him to the market, and that's what they did. They took him to the market, and the German families would have a choice. And what they would do, they would put him on a little stand, and German families would stand there, and they would bid on who they wanted to work in their fields, to work in their house. And my grandpa said him and his friend were taken from their city. And his friend behaved rudely. And my grandpa said, I was quiet and I was humble and I was just standing there. And I was like, Lord, everything is in your hand. I wish a good family would take me, a Christian family would take me. And what happened was my grandpa got taken by a Christian rich family. And so what he did was from 1942-ish till the liberation, he spent in a family serving. He was a servant. And then as the Americans and Russian pushed from east and west, they were liberated and he got to go home. And that's the only way he survived. Because whoever was not sold on that market, what would happen was they would shoot him or send him to a concentration camp. Okay? So that's as close as my family history gets to any type of slavery or racism or anything like that. Now, the vision of New Life Church is to be a church of all races, all nations, and all cultures. That's what we want. So some of you asking, why are you even touching this sensitive subject? Just leave it alone. Preach Jesus. And I will preach Jesus today. I will preach Jesus and Samaritan woman. But it's important for us. We don't want to, you know, church hasn't always had the best reputation on this issue either. Church has been right there with the culture always. But you know what? God hates racism. God hates all kinds of injustice and discrimination. Bible says, for God so loved the world, everyone, every human being, every race, every nationality, that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's two families in this world. There's God's family and there's not God's family. Amen. So, what is racism? I had to go into dictionary, and it's a false belief that some group of people are lower than others. It's prejudice or discrimination directed against someone of different race based on such a belief that people are lower. Now, racism is a work of Satan. It's a work to divide and to destroy. It's not God's work. It's the work of Satan to divide and destroy God's family. Racism takes many forms. Did you know that? That it's not only black and white. It's not only American and African. Racism started right after people were kicked out of Garden of Eden. Cain and Abel. It's a division. It's a divide and conquer mentality. It started with Cain and Abel. Cain was the oldest brother, so he had these rights. He thought he was special. And here God accepts the sacrifice of Abel. Do you remember that story from Sunday school maybe? And here Cain starts feeling superior. He starts feeling that to me belongs this honor of God honoring me. I'm somebody. I'm special. God has to honor me. And God says, no, you brought a wrong sacrifice. You have a wrong heart, and I'm not going to honor that. And so Cain gets up and overpowers Abel, his younger brother, and kills him. There is racism going on all throughout history. Even in the Bible, we see in the day of Jesus, there was prejudice between Jews and Samaritans. Actually, today, I want to tell you that story. Do you remember the story of Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman? I want to just read a little bit for you. About Jews and Samaritans. But before I do, I want to tell you who they were. Do you know that Jews and Samaritans were Israelites? In a day of Solomon, God promised to divide his kingdom because he was having too much fun with those women. You remember that story? God says, I will divide your kingdom, but not in your day, in your son's day. So here, the son of Solomon dies, and son of Solomon becomes the king. And Israel, who was divided into 12 states, they call them 12 tribes of Israel. You know that, right? And so Israel comes to him and says, Solomon was a good king and everything, but his taxes was way too high. And he said, please lower our taxes and we will serve you. You will be our king. And so Solomon's son, I think he was, what's his name? Rehoboam? Let's call him Ray. Solomon's son, Ray, says, give me 3 days. And after 3 days, I will give you an answer. So he goes and has a discussion with his advisors. And the young advisors say to him, listen, don't do it. They'll call you a weak king. The older one says, just lower their taxes a little bit and they'll serve you. You just got to win the heart of the people. And pride came into his heart and he said, listen, I won't lower your taxes. And so 10 of the states of Israel separated and became what was now called Samaria. And 2 states, which was Judea and Benjamin, were called Judea. So notice, it was the same family. It was God's chosen people. And so in the day of Jesus, there was prejudice happening between Jews and Samaritans. Samaritans were called lower because what happened was, as the kingdoms divided, Jerusalem stayed in Judea. And guess where the temple was? Jerusalem. And God only spoke and said that you should worship him in Jerusalem. So now the other 10 states could not come freely because the states were at war. And so what they did was they built, the Samaritans built, the 10 states built their worship places on the mountains. And Jews would despise them. They said, you shouldn't be worshiping on the mountain. You got to be worshiping in Jerusalem, in the temple. And so Jews discriminated against Samaritans. So let me read to you this story. It says this. And Jesus went through Samaria on the way, eventually came to a Samaritan village of Sychar. I'm going to read through these names fast, like I know what I'm talking about, but probably don't pronounce them correctly. Near the field of Jacob that was given to Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus is walking by, comes to a town of Sychar. There's a well, and he stops there. Soon a Samaritan woman came to him to draw water. And Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at that time because his disciples went into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. So they wouldn't even trade with them. They would just totally discriminate against them. They said, you guys don't worship correctly. You guys don't have a lineage done right. Because some of them started intermarrying into different cultures and things like that. And so they said, you know, you're the wrong people. You don't worship correctly. We will have nothing to do with you. So this woman was surprised. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you knew the gift of God that he has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. And so Jesus is having this long conversation with this woman. And eventually, they come to a debate about religion. That's what divides them. The woman realizes that he's a prophet. So he tells, tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place to worship, while Samaria claims it that it's here on Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. And then verse 23. But the time is coming, and indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So Jesus is bringing unity back again. God didn't create races. He created Adam and Eve. Out of them, all the races happened. So we are not different. We're not lower than others. We didn't come from monkeys and once developed faster and one developed slower. And so we're different. No, God created Adam and Eve. And from them, we have all came to be here today. God hates racism. God is not a divider. God is a uniter. And so special in a church, we should never, ever, ever have a spirit of racism dwell in this place. We are to love everybody. Racism has a lot of hatred in it. See, racism is not only black and white. I just want to show you this, that Jews and Samaritans, they had a form of racism between them. Shiite and Sunnis, they are so close, they're Arabs. And guess what? There's racism going on. They're blowing up each other. They're same religion. They're Muslim. And they're still blowing one another. Chinese and Malaysians have a big argument, big debate happening and hatred between themselves. Racism. See, a lot of times we think racism is just black and white. No. Bosnians and ethnic cleansing, that was a form of racism. Everything divides and conquers and takes by force is a form of racism. And it shouldn't happen in the church. Martin Luther King, he said, we are going to achieve our goal peacefully. Jesus didn't come and conquer. He did, actually, but a different way. Through a peaceful way. Through the love way. God loved. Jesus loved. And the only way we can overcome this racism in America, racism in the church, racism in the world is God's love. We got to understand that we're not different. We are same children of Adam and Eve. Amen. And God loves all people. Some of you think, well, I don't feel racism. Well, because probably you're a part of majority. You know, I haven't experienced racism or anything, but because I'm white and majority of people are white. And so, when they see me, they just assume, okay. But when I spoke sometimes, I have experienced a little, maybe prejudiced. I don't know what it is. And it's not comfortable. It's belittling. It's putting a person down. And sometimes the pride comes in me and I want to show you I'm way better than you. But that's the devil. You know that's the devil. He'll put you down and then make you fight for and then hit you with both. You know? And I don't want to spend the night in jail or anything like that. Hallelujah. So there's racism. Nazis thought that they were the Aryan race. And so they said, whoever doesn't fit our template, whoever is not like us, we're going to destroy him. And so they destroyed 6 million of Jews. That's a form of racism. That's divide and conquer. And there's another racism that's very interesting is in Rwanda. How many of you heard of that? In Rwanda, it's one country. And there was a fight between Hutu and Tutsi, and there was a genocide. Million people were killed, I think, or more, of Tutsi were killed because of division. Satan, listen to me, Satan is divider. He wants to divide your family like Cain and Abel. He's working to divide the church. And if he can't divide the church, he's going to try to separate and says, well, he's black, he's white. And then he's going to say, look, he's looking at you different. Listen, we cannot overcome by just the racism and prejudice except the love of Jesus. God loves. And Paul says this. He says, in Jesus Christ, there's no more male or female. There's no more free or slave. There was no more Jew or Gentile. In Christ, you are all one. I'm so happy that in Christ, we are all equal. There's nobody better here. Just because you have one gift and somebody else has another gift doesn't mean you're better. God loves people. Amen. In Isaiah, and I want to go to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. In the second part, it says this. God says, my temple shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Some of you think, well, in the Old Testament, God was for the Jews only. So what do you think, why do you think he sent Jonah. Why did he send Jonah to save pagans, Ninevites? And Noah actually didn't want to go because Noah was a racist. Jonah was a racist. Thank you. Jonah was a prophet. Okay, I got it. I got it in my head. He discriminated against them. He said they don't deserve to be saved by God. And God says, no. You go and you go preach. And you go say that in 40 days, this city will be destroyed if you don't repent. And guess what they did? God cares, even in the Old Testament, he cares about people. He doesn't want to kill life. He's a creator of life. And so Jonah goes and the whole city is saved. Over 140,000 people were saved because God loves people. Now, can I be honest with you? I have been a racist. Now, I haven't been public, maybe racist, but I've laughed at racist jokes. Yeah, I have. I've been in a company of men where, you know, they would say a joke, and I wouldn't say nothing because I know it's wrong, but I would laugh about it. And can I be honest, and if we all are honest, that everybody is a little racist. I've seen white people who are racist, yes. Have I seen black people who are racist? Yes, I have. See, because racism is bigger. It's hatred. It's division. It could happen between two white people. I'm better than you. It's pride. It's self-exaltation. I'm better. Because I have a better car, I look down at you. Because you have a different gift, I will not hire you. Or because you look a certain way, I'm not going to hire you. God hates division. Everything in God's kingdom is one. God the Father, there's order in God's kingdom. And when Satan separated himself from God and wanted to be like God, he was kicked out. But guess what? His reign will not last forever. He's defeated on the cross. And eventually, he'll be put in prison for 1,000 years. If you think prison changes people, no. Because even after 1,000 years in prison, Satan is going to come out. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to, same thing, war against God. And God, you know, some of you might think, can God save Satan? Does God love Satan? I think he does. God loves everybody. But Satan is so evil that after 1,000 years in prison, which is, I think, is a like very merciful sentence. Because he deserves to be, what he has done in the world, he deserves to be spending a lot longer in prison. God gives him 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, he's released. But he's not changed. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot change evil that's inside of us. The only thing we can do is we can allow the love of God to enter our heart. You can try on your own to change yourself. You won't. You can try to discipline yourself a little. You can't. You because evil is still there. The only way is have that evil be eradicated or washed off by the blood of Jesus. That's what he came to do. He came to take your sin, put it on the cross, and he brought his divinity into humanity to give it to us. And through him, we can experience the righteousness of God. Amen? Hatred is never permissible. Racism is hatred. I had a person tell me that when they were racist, they hated everybody. Every time they would see that other race that they hate, they hated. And you know what Jesus said? He said this. He says, don't murder, right? One of the commandments is don't murder. But Jesus took it farther. He says, whoever hates a brother in his heart has already committed murder. Every time a person practices, just think about this, racism, they commit murder. Is murder serious? Is murder serious? Yes. Every time we commit racism, we commit murder. Listen, New Life Church, especially those who've been here a while, I want to tell you, when you start seeing people who come totally different than us, I don't want to hear, see no snickering. I don't want to hear no, you know, those little laughters. No. That's not how we do things here. We don't belittle people. You know, sometimes church people, we have our own code, our own language. And so when somebody comes in, no, we don't do that. Because that's a form of division. I told this story and I'm going to finish with this story. Jesus decided to take a tour. This is just a hypothetical story. Jesus decided to take a tour through 10 cities of United States. And each city would take about a month. 10 city tour. So he came down from heaven. He came to New York, to the east side. And he went down to the poorest, to the people that didn't have anything. And he preached to them and he said, follow me. I'm going to change your life. And so a few people said, yes, we will follow you. And so Jesus says, now let's go to the next city. What's the next city after New York? Pittsburgh? Philly? Detroit is after Cleveland, so let's just follow him in geographical order. So let's go to Philly. So Jesus says, let's walk to Philly. So he gets this group of people and says, follow me, let's go to Philly. As they were walking to Philly, being with Jesus, you automatically changed. How many of you know that? Just by walking with Jesus, you had even Judas, who was a thief, acted all goody-goody when he was with Jesus. Okay, people were changed in the presence of Jesus. So as they were walking to Philly, they were changed. They started dressing differently. They started talking differently. As they got to Philly, Jesus said, let's go into a bad neighborhood and find some more people. And so as they came to this neighborhood, these people that Jesus just saved from the same thing in New York, said, Jesus, these people are filthy. Can we just have a little Bible study for ourselves? They're filthy. We don't want them. And Jesus said, just remember where I got you a month ago? Weren't you there? I could have came to Philly first. And what if the Philly people said that about you? And if I listen, because I'm not going to listen to you. I need you to help me reach those people. Because the reason you're better off because you were saved first. That's it. So the Philly people and the New York people, Jesus said, come on, let's go. Let's go to Cleveland. So they were all walking to Cleveland. They got to Cleveland and they went to the neighborhood, and Philly people were changed while walking with Jesus, and New York people were changed even more while walking with Jesus. When they came there, and the thing about religious people, that they always forget where they came from. So now they forgot again. So Jesus says, come on, let's go downtown Cleveland and see what we can do. Let's go to the worst, to the drug addict, to the prostitutes. And they said, okay, ew. I need that germ lotion. I need a sanitizer all over me. I need sanitizer. Jesus is like, what? It's been 2 months and now you forgot where I found you? The only reason you're this way because I found you first and second. See, Christians, we forget where we came from and what we would be without Jesus. And so Jesus says, come on. I want to change your heart. And so after Cleveland, he takes the three groups of people and goes to Chicago. And the same thing happens. And Jesus is like, come on, people. Then he comes to Sioux Falls, finds us. And then he says, come on, let's go and reach other people. But Lord, in whatever excuse you use, they're drug addicts, they're prostitutes, they're gays, they're a different race. There it is. Whatever excuse you use, Jesus came to save that which was lost. And the reason you are better off, because he found you first. But he's not done saving. He's not done changing lives. He's not done saving. And that's why he says, go and preach the gospel. Go and be my witness. Jesus says, you shall receive power. And first, the power changes you. But then it's the power to help others change. And he says, you will be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. And he wants to do it in our generation. He wants to send you. He wants to send me to reach everyone. And if we have the spirit of racism, we might like him on the stage, but we might not be truly loving them. And God doesn't like hypocrites. And so New Life Church, I see New Life Church in the years to come is multinational church. I mean, all nations, all races, all peoples. One group that I have a heart for reaching that Satan is destroying is Native Americans. And we have to be open. We have to find the culture, understand the culture, even get the people to go into those places where the people are. Let's not forget that the reason we're better off, not better than them, because he found us first. That's it. But he's not done finding people. He leaves the 99, so he's going to leave you all here. And he's going to say, who's going with me to find the one? That's who Jesus is. And Isaiah said, Lord, here am I. Send me. And I hear people saying, send me. Send me. Is this important subject? It is. Yes, I know it's uncomfortable. I know I might say something that I shouldn't, or maybe somebody will misunderstand me. But I'm willing to take that chance because I believe God loves all. And we have to become, like Martin Luther King said, he said, there's going to be a day when people are not going to be judged on the color of their skin, but their character.